again, everyone. This is Jeremy Lopez with Deep Cough in a Deep, and I'm glad today you decided to join us. And one thing we like to do in this broadcast is we like to dive into scriptures in the Bible. We like to dive into scientific facts. We like to dive into life. We want to dive into the things that really make us who we are today. And what makes us are things that are, you know, religious beliefs. What makes us is, you know, the culture in which we're raised in. What makes us is our families and our friends, our neighborhoods, our communities. These are things that make us who we are and that cultivate us to be who we are today. And I want to dive into these things because I want us to be able to figure out today from the power of exploration, the power of exploration. You know, is it really wrong to explore mentally? Is it wrong to really dive into society and try to figure out things on our own without maybe calling upon our pastor every moment? You know, or if our pastor doesn't say it, it's got to be wrong. You know, if the prophet doesn't say it, it's got to be wrong. You know, I want us to dive into that for a moment. I want us to begin to really understand from all these different avenues of life, you know, what do we really do? How far is too far? You know, are we rebellious if we begin to think for ourselves? I remember there's a book years ago written, and it was called And They Thought for Themselves. And it's a title that really got me thinking throughout the years. And They Thought for Themselves. So let me ask you a question, honestly. Is it wrong when you think for yourself? Is it wrong? Is it rebellious automatically when you begin to think for yourself? Because maybe the pastor didn't initiate it. You didn't get a permission or proof or, you know, that you should study this. So here's the proof in the pudding. So you should dive into this and study it, you know, from the apostle or the prophet. You know, is it true that we're not called to have the mind of Christ? And what is the mind of Christ? When we deal with the mind of Christ, we're dealing with the aspect of thought, are we not? What does a mind do? A mind thinks. A mind creates. A mind wonders. A mind has no problem with saying, what if? A mind has no problem with seeing different angles. A mind has no issue or problem at all with beginning to find a solution and maybe not find the solution that maybe other people have found to it. You know, if you look at, for example, if you look at, you're trying to get to number four, you can say everyone is doing it this way. The whole church, the body of Christ, is adding up 2 + 2 to get the number four. That's our victory. But if you look at the number four, you can also be creative and step outside the box, and not because your pastor, you know, didn't see it that way that you shouldn't see it that way, or maybe because the prophet didn't say, you know, you have to go the route of 2 + 2. If not, you're wrong. You know, is it because that we tend to listen to those around us, our peers, even those we respect, you know, our family, our friends, our foes? Is it because that we are programmed to feel as if we are called to only do it the way other people do it? But when you look at the number four, is it not true that yes, 2 + 2 = 4? But is it not true that 5 - 1 = 4? So is 5 - 1, is it a wrong solution? You know, is it a wrong pattern to get to this solution of number four? Is it wrong to begin to say, well, I could take 6 - 2 from it and I get the number four as well? Well, let me ask you a question. Is one way right and the other way's wrong? Or are they all equal in its power to get to the solution or the actual answer that you're trying to find, which is the number four? So we have to begin to really dive into that. What I'm wanting you to do from this day forward, as thousands of you listen to my broadcast, I want you to begin to start thinking for yourself. That's why I said it. I want you to start thinking for yourself. You know, nowhere in the scripture does it ever allude to nor talk about that it's wrong to think for yourself. You know, we were taught growing up, I was taught growing up in church that to be open-minded was, oh, that was like a cardinal sin. You're never supposed to be open-minded. But if you think about the terminology open-minded, what it means is that you are open to other ways to get to the number four. That's what you're saying. That you're open to the different angles to try to find a certain pattern, and then try to find another certain pattern, and then find another certain pattern. And the reason why I say certain, because to some people, this is the only way to get to the number four. And to other people, this is the only way to get to the number four. And is it not true that all these ways lead you to the number four? If 5 minus 1 equals 4, and 2 plus 2 equals 4, and 6 minus 2 equals 4, then folks, 1 plus 3 equals 4, then is one greater than the other? Is one lesser than the other? Does one hold more power to get to the number 4 than the other ones do? No. They're all exactly equal in power as far as the roadmap to get you to the number 4. And so when we look at that, we have to understand, is it wrong for me to open my mind and begin to understand different angles, different other ways to figure out, to understand what it is that God is to me? Is it wrong for me to understand that other people might see God this way, and I used to see God this way, but which one really makes it right or wrong? Which one really makes it right or wrong? You know, we can look all through the Word of God and understand that not one person in the Bible was led the same way. Not one. David wasn't led the same way Abraham was. Abraham wasn't led the same way Deborah was. Deborah wasn't, you know, led the same way, you know, as Esther was. And we can look in the New Testament. Let's look at the New Testament for a moment. Let's examine even the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four great Gospels that we know that were accounts of this living Christ that we worship. You know, that we love Jesus, right? But here's, let's look at this for a moment. If you notice that Jesus, in all four of the Gospels, gave a totally different way to salvation. Totally different way. But what do we do today? We say, ooh, there's one way. Oh, what is that way? Well, it could be Romans Road to Salvation. So what do we do as humans? We formulate a pattern, because we are so good at that. The church says that they are very creative in nature. But to be honest with you folks, I've never seen people that are more fearful, more afraid to do anything. They're petrified of everything that moves. And I have never in my life seen a group of people that actually are scared to try to be an entrepreneur. They're petrified to begin to you know, challenge the system of how they own, how they believe. They're some of the, no offense folks, but some of the worst people I've ever met in dealing with, you know, being an entrepreneur, getting out there, accomplishing something, walking by faith, you know, being the victor, overcoming the situation. It's crazy. But the truth of the matter is, the world is progressing. And you might say, well, Jeremy, but they're progressing the wrong way. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it so demonic to be able to create an iPad? It's demonic to create new technology such as the Samsung, you know, a phone? Is it so evil and wrong? Is it demonic to create the internet? Is it demonic for those who understand pixels and graphics and different things that causes, you know, the computers to work and the systems to work, and for us to be able to talk to someone through a social media network like Twitter or Facebook, where I can talk to someone on the other end of the world and they respond to me within a split second? Is that so wrong? Is that demonic? No. And I think we have to recalculate the way we believe, folks. We have to recalculate, is it wrong for me to explore? Is it wrong for me to be open-minded? Is it wrong for me to dive in to realize that, why am I fearful? Who trained me and taught me to be fearful? Who trained me and taught me that I've got to only do it this way? I can't do it that way. I'm only supposed to read these kind of books. I'm only supposed to listen to these kind of people. Folks, let me tell you something. Let's back up for a moment, because I know some of you are like, okay, I'm really curious about what you just brought up as far as different ways to salvation. Well, let's dive into it for a moment. We can look at Nicodemus. We can look at all the people in the Gospels and discover how one person was told, hey, you know what? You wanna be with me in the kingdom? You wanna know what heaven's all like? I'm gonna paraphrase here, you know, for a moment. Then you gotta sell all that you have. Give everything you have away. Sell it all. Get rid of it. And follow me. Well, that's not something they really wanted to do, was it? But yet, that was the way that Jesus said was one of the ways to get to him, to get to the kingdom, to get to where it is that they call paradise, or the place with God, whatever it was called to them, that was the way to do it. someone else, Jesus approaches him and talks to him and says, well, you know, here's the situation. You've got to be born again. Well, I don't understand. I mean, this guy was a genius. He was a smart guy here, one of the, you know, the rulers of the time, you know, a great leader. And you mean I've got to get back into my mother's womb? I'm confused here. No, you have to be born again. Born of the Spirit. So that's another way. So do I have to sell my stuff or do I not have to sell my stuff? Do I have to get back in my mother's womb or do I not have to get back in my mother's womb? You know, you deal with all these different ways that Jesus presented to every single person about salvation. Look at the woman at the well. Jesus sits down with the woman at the well. And what does he tell her? Does he ever say, now, let me just explain something to you, okay? I am the Savior, the Son of the living God, and I'm going to need you to understand that here's what's going to happen. In a couple of weeks from now, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross because I'm the Son of God. I'm going to die for you that you won't burn in hell for eternity, and you're going to be saved. But I need you to quote to me Romans Road to Salvation. I'm going to have something happen. Someone's going to have to walk you through this thing, and you'll be okay then. Or was it the fact that he sat there at the well, talked to the lady, and began to say, well, here's the situation. I'm going to prophetically speak into your life. And how I'm speaking into your life basically is letting you know that, you know, you've had all these husbands here. Okay, so you've had five husbands already, and the sixth one basically you're living with right now. Now, okay, let's stop for a moment. So the woman's sitting here thinking, man, you are a prophet. I mean, look what you just said. Look what you just did. You just read my mail. This dude just read my mail. And yet, if you think about it, God was leading her to understand, really, the seventh husband, I like to put it that way, because Jesus was considered to be the husbandman, because we're the bride, he's the husbandman. And if we looked at that, what if he was trying to elude her past the number six, to get her to the point of number seven, to understand the thing that basically he told her, and that is, but now, let me also explain this to you. But for me, I can give you water that will cause you to never thirst again. Wow, really? And did we ever really hear how that was possible? Did he ever tell her that you will die and burn in hell for eternity, but you're going to have to listen to me for a moment? Did we ever even hear that in the scripture? Not at all. But he presented himself to her from a friendly point of view, and was explaining to her that there's something better than what you're living. We can read all through the Gospels to understand Jesus said a different message to every single person he came in contact with. And folks, you know, whether this messes with your theology or not, there is no denying that what I'm saying is true. You don't have to find the Greek words for it. You don't have to dive into the Latin, the Hebrew. What I'm saying is at face value. You can read it at face value. And there's no argument to bring forth because we all know, we've studied these scriptures. We've studied the stories over and over and over again. We've heard them all of our lives in Sunday school. And the truth of the matter, Jesus never one time gave the same story to anyone. So here's my question. Would you get it right, Jesus? Would you tell us the truth? Would you tell us exactly the pattern in which this guy has got to be done? Because if you don't, you sound very wishy-washy, telling everybody basically something totally different. And that's not fair. It's not right. It's something you're letting us know that there actually is not really a way, even though you're the way, we don't know the way in which we're supposed to go. And I believe Jesus would say, exactly right. Exactly right. Because it takes away the power for you to explore. It takes away the power for you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and let others not meddle in your personal business. Because when others get into your meddling in your personal business, they take away and destroy the very right for you to be led by my Spirit and to discover what it is that my Spirit wants for your individual, unique life. Because if Jesus was here today, folks, I have news for you. He would not stand up in church and he would not preach a sermon that tells everybody this is what you have to do to be saved. This is what you have to do to be able to do this. This is what you have to do. This is the way you make money. This is the way you get healing. This is the way you do this. This is the way you get to the kingdom. None of that stuff. Because honestly, folks, it's pure rubbish. What we are producing today in the church, a lot of it, not all of it, praise God for a lot of it, but a lot of it is pure rubbish. Because because we are stealing and we are robbing from people's individual way of thinking. That's why the Bible makes it plain to be possessors of the mind of Christ. And yet he never even said to be a possessor of his heart. But why would you put the mind over the heart in the situation of your scriptures, God? Because we know that we already have his heart. We've always had the heart of Jesus. We've always had, the moment he died on the cross, that was his heart being given to us. But the mind is something that rules us day by day. The mind is what causes us to be creative. The mind is what causes us to start thinking on our own. That the Holy Spirit can begin to minister to our mind and put in our mind the thoughts that we need for who we are in our culture, in my family, in my city, in my house, in my home, on my job, with my kids, with my being single, with my being married, with my whatever it is that you are and who you are in that particular unique fashionable person you are, that he would tell you something totally different than what he would tell me. And I would say that's exactly 100% true. He desires to tell each and every one of us something totally, radically different. Because if not, we would have no need into possess the mind of Christ. There's no need for us at all to do anything. All we have to do, and we can tell the world the same thing, here is your pattern. Just do step one, step two, step three, and everything's going to be just fine. But folks, we are distorting the kingdom message. We are destroying the power of God to move. We automatically tell people how miracles should be brought forth, what a miracle really is, what a miracle looks like. And when you get into a service, no offense folks, but it's true, when you get into a service and expect automatically gold dust to fall on everyone, you know, because this is a miracle. When you expect certain things to happen, and once again, these things are not wrong, but they're distorting the power of the kingdom of God, because what we're doing is we're expecting everyone to jump on board with what we perceive to be our truths, and what we perceive is the right way for us, and what we perceive is how the kingdom should be approached. And folks, that is not only distortion, it is terribly sick, because we're not called to do that. We're not called to do that. The author and finisher of our faith is the one that gave us the power to create. The one that is the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord of hosts, he calls himself, is the one who gave us the power to choose. God Almighty, the great I Am, is the one who gave us a mind to be able to process things differently than even our spouses, even our children, even our parents, even the way, you know, those who work with us. The same God who gives us tons of different names of himself. Now listen to me closely. The same God that calls himself one thing to one person and turns around and calls himself another to another person in the Bible, guess what, folks? Is the same God. And that same God is letting you know, you might see me as Jehovah Jireh. And anyone that would try to deviate you from in that pattern of the revelation you are receiving in that moment of time in your life will have an account and answer to me. Because it's not my job to override what you're seeing. It's not my job to override what you are experiencing in that moment of your life. It is not my job to override the presence that you are living in at that moment, because that presence might not be something I'm familiar with. That presence might not be something that I've ever had before. That presence is something I might have experienced years ago. That presence is something I have yet to experience. But either way, it is your presence, it is your story, and it is your experience. And that, my friend, is the only thing that causes you to overcome by your own experience, not by my experience. You will never overcome by another human being's experience. And nowhere in the Bible does it allude to that. That's why every single person in the Bible had their own personal experience. We are trying to figure out today in America's culture, we are trying so hard, we're desperately trying so hard to begin to keep the letter of the law and try to establish something to say, this is not right, this is not right, this is not right, this is not right. And granted the fact, there are things that we can look and say that maybe aren't right to God. But who are we to look and really make that determination to say it's not right, period, for humanity? It's not right, period, because God doesn't like this, or God does like this. Where do we come up with this ideology that we have become gods ourselves to begin to know exactly what the Almighty, infinite power, who is energy, presence, Father, glory, anointing, miracles, friend of the friendless, mother to the motherless, I mean, love to the ones that don't have love, a presence that brings this different types of glory, not just Shekinah glory, but different types of glory, the same presence of the I Am, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Senkenu, the Elohim, El Shaddai, the same God who takes all these different names and titles, but yet is one God. He is the same God, yesterday, today, and forever, but I have news for you. He will not manifest himself to you the same way he does me, which means you have no right to sit here and go to a God who is a mystery in as a whole and begin to present to him the ideology that you know him and you know how he thinks and you know what he likes. Folks, that is about as evil as it comes. You're talking about a God that when you're 99 years old, if you're still alive, you are still trying your hardest to figure out these things about God. And will you ever box God in? Never. Will you ever figure out God? Never. No matter how many times you read that Bible, you will never figure the God, the mystery that of the universe, you will never figure God out, ever. And so what do? We walk this life. And we hope and pray because he guarantees us his promises are yes and amen. We walk through this life where we get bits and pieces of his glory, bits and pieces of his presence. Yes, he's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But little bits and pieces of who he is sort of dropped in my today, dropped in my tomorrow, dropped in my yesterday, and I get just enough that gives me the greatest revelation of my life, if I'm a seeker, to say, wow, what a mighty God. And yet we turn around and we still will see something totally different tomorrow and say to ourselves, wow, what a mighty God. You know why? Because that wow, that aha moment is letting you know that when you thought yesterday what a mighty God that he is, you turn around the next day and you realize that mighty God that I thought I knew yesterday, I still doesn't even compare to what I just saw now. Because you don't know the God that you serve, but you're trying your hardest to get as much as you can to know this amazing, powerful, loving, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent God that we are so intimate with. But just because you're intimate with him doesn't mean you know him. Let me give you a great example, folks, and we'll close with this. How many people on earth, many of you say, oh man, I know my wife, I know my husband, oh, she can't stand that, I know my husband never cheat on me, I know my wife would never cheat on me. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't care how many times you are intimate, we're talking sexually here, I don't care how many times you are sexually intimate with your husband or with your wife, I don't care if you have sex 5 times a day or 10 times a day, no matter how intimate you are with that person in bodily form, no matter how intimate you are with in spirit form, no matter how intimate you are with them, you can look all around the globe and some of the most intimate couples that ever walked this planet would awaken one day to find out their husband was a secret murderer on the side. That their wife has been having an affair for a very long time. To wake up and realize their husband had been in pornography for years and yet they never knew it. To find out one day that their wife, you know, was having an affair with the yoga instructor or their boss and yet was shocked, perplexed. How many people have ever been shocked and perplexed to find out that would have been the last person I would have ever thought would ever do this or that? But yet, let me ask you a question. I thought you were intimate with them. It goes to show you, folks, not that God would do anything like these things, but the point I'm making is no matter how intimate you are with the Father, you still don't know his majesty. You still don't know his glory. You still don't know how he thinks, and what he likes and what he doesn't like, because what he likes about one person, he might not care for another. And what he does like about someone, he might not like about someone else. You know why? Because God is an equal opportunity employer. God is a God who sees people as an equal opportunity employer, to look at people and realize, even though everyone is equal, I reserve the right to be intimate to each one of them, to begin to allow them to be the person, the him or the her that I created them to be. And so, folks, when we're talking about exploring, let me tell you something. Do not be afraid to explore. Do not be afraid to be open-minded. Do if there's a pastor, a bishop, a prophet, or an apostle, or a teacher, or an evangelist, folks, let me tell you something. I could get all Greek and Hebrew with you. I could get as nerdy as they possibly come because of the knowledge that I know in my years of studies. But that's not what's important right now. What's important is that you understand the basics, powerful revelation that you need to become open-minded. You need to become to understand where people are in their life and what makes them think the way they think and what causes a person to tick, and not automatically judge them, write them off, or feel as if that they're wrong because you can't figure them out, or because you can't understand them, or because there's one, two scripture that says this, or there's one scripture that says that. Folks, that is the worst thing you can do. Is the worst thing on earth is to be a closed-minded Christian. And folks, we've got to come to a place in our lives where we're allowing a God that we learn different names of God every day in the Bible. And yet, you know what? We think we've got people figured out by one glance, by labeling them one thing or the title of what they call themselves, whatever, and we think we figure them out, and we automatically write them off as being wrong or right. But yet we struggle every day with the same book that's been here for thousands of years, basically, before it was canonized, just talking about the scriptures, that we have read and over and over and over again, and yet we still to this day cannot figure out God. So folks, today, don't be afraid to explore. Don't be afraid to dive into things to learn. The greatest thing in life is to never suffer from a lack of knowledge. And it doesn't even say biblical knowledge. It doesn't say godly knowledge. It doesn't say get the mind of the Baptist or the Pentecostals knowledge. No. It says knowledge, period. Don't be afraid to learn about different people, different cultures, different beliefs. Read different books by different things. Learning how to make something. Learning how to, cook. No matter what it is, don't be afraid to dive in there and explore. God loves a person who walks by faith. And faith is something that every man on earth has been given. And you might think faith is a Christian word, but let me tell you something, folks. The Bible says that to every man that ever walks the earth, to every man has been dealt the measure of faith. There's not one human being on earth that does not possess faith. Faith causes you to get up in the morning. Faith causes you to get in the shower. Faith causes you to trust your car you're driving. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that every person, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, every person on earth has been dealt the measure of faith according to the Bible. So faith doesn't always bring into the equation a Christian term. It is something that God has blessed every human being on earth with. And therefore, you have to realize, understand that through that, you should be able to move into the realm of God and trust by faith that, you know what, God knows what He's doing. And that I can explore, I can get out there and read different things, I can be able to not be afraid by faith to dive into different things to learn. And if you're scared the devil's going to get you, then the devil's going to get you. My question to you would be this: where is the faith that you claim you possess? Where's the wisdom that in the scriptures it says He will keep His angels charge over you? So if you think that God will not watch over you because you're going to explore and use the mind that has been given to you to think, if you think for a moment that your Heavenly Father would forsake you for exploring and reading new material and getting out there and diving into the world by faith, then folks, you have a distorted view of this amazing, loving God that you serve. If God cannot keep His own, then we're all in trouble. If God has to keep you in a box where you are fearful and you are afraid to touch anything, to read anything, to listen to anything, because some devil's going to get you, then folks, He's not truly God. The God I know is able to keep me, protect me, guide me, and guard me. And yet, you know what He's given me with wisdom? The old saying of to learn how to chew the meat and spit the bones out. To not throw the baby out with the bathwater. And folks, I challenge you today through this broadcast, I challenge you to walk by faith, get wisdom, and not be afraid to explore this amazing world and amazing life that God has granted to you. Thank you so much for listening to our broadcast today. I so appreciate you and appreciate you so much. If you have any questions at all or any comments, please feel free. Contact us at the ministry at customerservice@identitynetwork.net. I would love to hear your feedback. And when you do, I want to hear the feedback from people that I know are listening to that same voice of God, beckoning us to come up higher, to walk out of fear into faith, and realize that God said in His Word, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I didn't come to give you religion. I didn't come to give you tradition. I didn't come to give you do's and don'ts. I didn't come to give you legalism. I didn't come to create a box that you stay in and never be afraid to explore. No, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. God bless you.